Good morning, Highland Heights. It's a wonderful opportunity to be together, to worship God, to sing songs of praises to Him, express our gratitude and our love to Him. It's just a blessing. And to be a blessing to be with so many people that love God more than they love their own lives, that's encouraging to me, and hopefully it's encouraging to you as well. If you're visiting with us this morning, we want you to feel very comfortable. We want you to come back always. You know, we usually don't always feel real comfortable where we're not used to being. And so hopefully you can just see that we're just a simple group of folks, but we're trying to do our best to follow God faithfully and please Him and honor Him. Well, today is Veterans Day. 100 years ago, an armistice was signed, ending the First World War. And it was commemorated every year until 1954, when President Eisenhower changed Armistice Day to Veterans Day, not just to commemorate the end of the First World War, but to honor all that have served in our armed forces. And yesterday we had a wonderful luncheon. I think it was Group 1 rather than Group 3, but that's okay. But we've given honor to whom honor is due. So Group 1, thank you. But it was really nice. And we've got a lot of veterans here in the congregation. I was talking with Ron Claiborne this morning. His great-grandfather served in the Civil War on the proper side. I won't say which one that is. But his grandfather served in World War I, his father in World War II, and he served in the Vietnam War. So I said, it's amazing you're still here. That's really something, though. But it is a blessing to have so many who are so courageous, so willing to defend our freedom. And we just thank you very much for that. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'd like to read verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. Paul's writing to Timothy and giving him instructions on how to carry on the ministry. And some really important information here that we need to pay attention to. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul had Timothy as a son, very dear to him. He trained him. Timothy went around with him, interned with him. But the instruction here is to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, for most of us, that may just seem sort of like a religious expression. Yeah, be strong in the grace. Yeah, that sounds good, but what does that really mean? Well, the reality is, if we don't understand grace, we really don't have a message. We don't understand the gospel. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 that we're saved by grace through faith. We're saved by grace. In the book of Galatians, Paul gets on to the church there because they started out understanding they were saved by grace, but they want to continue their salvation, not by God's grace, but by merit. And he said, no, we work out our salvation. We do all we can to please and honor God. But in the end, we're still saved by grace. And when we're suffering, it's God's grace that carries us through. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul is explaining, you know, his difficulties and his suffering, and he prayed that God would take that thorn in the flesh away from him, and he said, well, my grace is sufficient unto you. So it's so important that we understand the biblical doctrine of grace, not to abuse grace like some people do. Well, God's going to forgive us, so it doesn't matter how I live. Obviously, that's not true. But at the same time, we don't live a life that I have to be good enough in order to earn God's grace. You know, that's kind of a hybrid system. You know, like, well, you know, I know we're saved by grace, but I have to be good enough to deserve that grace. And that's not true as well. So Paul tells Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, he says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, in other words, what I've been preaching and teaching, he says, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's called what we call in church growth studies leadership training. You know, you help somebody to become a Christian, you teach them the gospel, but then you encourage them to teach other people so that those others might teach others and God's mission be accomplished. If we try to do everything, you know, if you expect your preacher to do everything, you're mistaken. It's not possible. It's not physically possible. How many people you can actually be involved with? It's a limited number. And the mission, you know, the fields are wide under harvest. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. And so everybody needs to help. But we need to be thinking not only for my sake, but I need to be training other people, younger people or newer Christians, and help them to be able to share the gospel as well. Now, in verse 3, he says, "You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You know, the gospel, the message that's being preached in so many places today is not a gospel of hardship. Our whole lives, in some sense, revolve around making everything easier, more comfortable. You know, technology makes things easier. I don't actually have to go to the bank. I can pay my bills online. Or I can order from Amazon. I don't actually have to go to the store. Everything's about making our lives simpler and easier. And Paul's saying, what? If I'm going to be a Christian, if I'm going to be a soldier of Christ Jesus, I'm going to have to learn to endure or to share in the sufferings that come along with being a Christian. That's not what I signed up for. That's not what I want. Well, Corey blessed us last Sunday evening talking about prayer and fasting. Fasting's not fun and it's not easy, but it's a blessing when we do that. And hopefully a lot of you experienced that this past week. And so Paul is telling Timothy to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 4, he says, "No one engaged in welfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." As Christians, it's so easy to get unfocused about our mission. You know, there's a lot of neat things going on. We've got internet, we've got movies, we've got more and more sporting events. When I grew up, we didn't have hockey. You know, hockey was something played up there in Canada and maybe in Michigan, and you saw it on a little black and white TV and you couldn't possibly see the puck in that dark place. And soccer was just, you know, something they played over there in England, and those, you know, funny little announcers, and nobody was into, you know, we just had some, but now we just keep coming up with sports and Olympics, and, you know, there's so much distraction, and we've got Kiwanis Club and Lions Club and Rotary Club, and we've got, you know, home demonstration, and we've got, you know, the so many things that if we're not careful, we'll be distracted from our mission. I'm not saying any of those things are wrong, but we just have to be focused. Paul says not to become entangled in the things of this world. Well, all Christians are to be soldiers of Christ, and the Bible tells us how we can become a soldier of the cross. And first of all, we must have faith, because it's by grace that we're saved through faith. Faith is the basis of our relationship and our acceptance through with God. And so Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says that we're saved by grace through faith. So if you have faith, a saving faith, an obedient faith, then the Bible says that you will repent of your sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. There's no way you can continue living a life for yourself, living a life dedicated to sin and not to God, and be saved. So it's called a new birth or a transformation. It's a decision to change the direction of your life. Also, if you have faith, you'll confess Jesus as Lord publicly. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, he says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's because it's an example. It's a result of faith in our life. And then, of course, baptism is absolutely essential for our salvation. It's our proof of faith. It's the moment when your sins are washed away. It's the moment when you receive from God the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the moment when you become a new creature. It's when you're buried to the old life and raised to walk and newness of life. Some people kind of reject baptism as an essential element of salvation because they say, no, but that's a work, and we're not saved by works. Well, it's not a work. It's what's done to us. We're passive in that. It's done to us, and God does the work. He transforms us. He forgives us of our sins. And so if you're not a Christian and you want to become a soldier of the cross, then you must have faith that Jesus is the Son of God. You must confess Him as Lord of your life, repent of your sins, make a decision to change the direction of your life, and be united with Jesus in baptism. That's how you become a soldier of the cross. Now this morning, and then of course, we must live faithfully. This morning I want to share with you about how some ways that we, some characteristics, some values that need to be incorporated in our lives in order to live faithfully. Talking about veterans, there, if you go to the official Army website, there are seven values that the Army has for soldiers. Seven values, and basically they're biblical values. And I want to share those with you this morning. The first is respect. In the soldier's code, we pledge to treat others with dignity and respect. Respect is what allows us to appreciate the best in other people. The Army is one team, and each of us has something to contribute. And so that's what the Army teaches the soldiers, that it's essential to respect one another. Well, that's a biblical principle. And I think what's lacking so much, Jesus said, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. It's been around a long time, this idea of respecting one another. You know, we've heard the campaign term, Make America Great Again. And I ask you, what do we need to do to make America great again? Have better salaries? Have more prosperity in our country? This country has never been so prosperous. Never in the history. And we know that it hasn't been that long that the country is in the financial shape that it's in. It's just a marvelous. So it's not a lack of that in the past that we were more prosperous. But what I believe it is that we used to respect one another. People knew that our president wasn't perfect, but they respected him. People knew that your teachers weren't perfect, but they were respected. People knew elders of the church weren't perfect, but they respected them. But today, a lack of respect is just in everywhere you turn. And so Jesus said to do to others what you would want them to do to you. In other words, respect people. The Bible also says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. I was trying to help a young man in Brazil, a young church leader there, and he was having a lot of personal conflicts with a lot of the members. And we took him aside and tried to help him to see he needed to change. He was causing more problems than he was helping the church with different people. And I shared with him, you know, we don't, the leaders here at the church, we don't have any problem with you, but you have problems with all these different members of the church. And I agree that some of these are some complicated people. They're not easy to get along with, but we all don't have problems with them. And he said, well, I don't have problems with people I respect. In other words, there were some people there at the congregation that he didn't respect, and so he was butting heads constantly with these people. Well, Paul writes, and he says, if you consider other people more significant than yourself, you're not going to have conflicts. It's a natural way to respect people. But when we think we're more important than someone else, then certainly we won't respect them, and there'll be difficulties and conflicts. A second value that the Army teaches is doing your duty means more than carrying out your assigned task. Duty means being able to accomplish tasks as part of a team. And I think that's one of the greatest things I see here at Highland Heights. One of the first times we met for VBS and Robin, before the VBS, he said, these people, they are so eager to work and they know what to do. And he says, my job is easy because they'll all get behind it. And I said, okay, you know, and we came to the meeting and I'll do this and I'll do that. And everybody, and Rob just sat there and they just, choom, choom, choom. It was amazing how eager people, your one of the veterans dinner or any fellowship meal, people get behind and they all start sweeping carpet and wiping off tables and serving and going out and serve communion and greeting people. And it's just marvelous when everybody does what they can do. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, there's a longer reading here, 9 verses, but it's just kind of a general overview of the way we should live out our Christian duty. The Bible says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And that's a good summary of our Christian duty. Number three, a loyal soldier is one who supports the leadership and stands up for fellow soldiers. By wearing the uniform of the U.S. Army, you are expressing your loyalty. And by doing your share, you show your loyalty to your unit. Well, as Christians, 1 John chapter 3 says, by this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Loyalty. I have no doubt that if I were to pass away, this church would take care of my family, but take care of Becky. And I've seen that in other places. And it's just an awesome gift from God that we're loyal to God, we're loyal to our leaders, we're loyal to one another. It's a blessing. Number four is selfless service. The Army says, put the welfare of the nation, the Army, and your subordinates before your own. In serving your country, you are doing your duty loyally without thought of recognition or gain. The basic building block of selfless service is the commitment of each team member to go a little further, endure a little longer, and look a little closer to see how he or she can add to the effort. Basically what Paul's been teaching in Philippians chapter 2, he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's selfless service. Not thinking of yourself, not wanting recognition. Okay, I'll do that, but what am I going to get out of it? No, I'm going to serve because God deserves it, whether anybody sees it or not. Integrity is a quality you develop by adhering to moral principles. It requires that you do and say nothing that deceives others. As your integrity grows, so does the trust others place in you. And this highly prized value will positively affect your relationships with families and friends. Well, the Bible's been teaching that for a long time. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. God knows what's going on. We can't fool God. We want to be people of quality and people of character. Also, Psalm 139 is an attitude that we ought to have for ourselves. The psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we ought to pray to God, God, show me my faults. Show me where I need to change and help me get there. Number six is personal courage. Personal courage has long been associated with our army. It is a matter of enduring physical duress and at times risking personal safety. You can build your personal courage by daily standing up for and acting upon the things that you know are honorable. Well, the Bible says, Paul admonishes the Christians and he says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. It's not always being easy to be a Christian, because we know the tide of public opinion nowadays is against us. But we need to be strong. We need to watch and stand fast in the faith and glorify God. And last of all is honor. The nation's highest military award is the Medal of Honor. This award goes to soldiers who make honor a matter of daily living. Honor is a matter of carrying out, acting, and living the values of respect, duty, loyalty, selfless service, integrity, and personal courage in everything you do. Well, the Bible says, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience desiring to act honorably in all things. And then finally, Proverbs chapter 21:21, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. And so those principles that the army is trying to instill in their soldiers are principles that the Bible has taught for a long time that each of one of us as a soldier of the cross ought to have in our lives in order to live out faithfully God's will and God's mission in life. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.